The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard it. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The parable of the sower is one of the most well-known parables. But if we really start thinking about how it plays out in our lives and in the lives of others, it can make us uneasy. When those who are in the good soil are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience, that sort of language is reminiscent of the third commandment, an explanation in Luther's Small Catechism. It goes, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Said another way, we should ditch everything in our lives to make hearing the word of God a priority, both as individuals, but especially as a corporate body of Christ. Because Christ's words are spirit and life, John 6:63. His word is living and active, piercing between the desires of the sinful flesh, showing us God's wrath on law transgressors, and also the new man that we are in Christ, showing us God's mercy towards sinners. But the troublesome part is that our actions don't always show that we love preaching, or that we don't love to listen to God's word. Maybe because hearing of one's own sins is difficult. Or maybe you don't believe the word of God to be applicable to you. Or maybe you just don't think that Or maybe you just think the Bible is boring. Perhaps it's also troublesome that loved ones who proclaim Christ as their own despise preaching and hearing the word of God by not coming to church. Even worse, their lives show that they despise the teachings of God. But anytime we receive the word of God, spiritual attack often accompanies it. This parable of the sower demonstrates all different kinds of ways that we're spiritually attacked. The seed, which is the word of God, falls onto three different kinds of ground that weren't good soil. Jesus explains that they don't grow because of the work of what Christians in the past have called the unholy trinity. The unholy trinity consists of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And that's what Jesus teaches in this parable, who are enemies of faithful reception to God's word. To begin, the devil immediately snatches the words of spirit and life from the hearts of some, just as birds snatch up seeds from the path. For this, we may think of someone who hears the word of God, hearing of sin and grace, but would rather have their life of sin, rather than being cleansed and received into eternal life. Or perhaps the pride of admitting that one's actions are sinful get in the way of humbling oneself to forgiveness. Second, the world lets the seed grow for a while on the rocks, but it has no roots. So when any trial comes, it gets wiped away. At one point in time, the word of God was met with faith for these folks, even receiving it with much joy. But when adversity and trial is met in life, they never actually come to God for help or healing. We may think of someone who attends a tent revival one day, coming away joyously in the faith, to never get connected with a church or congregation. And finally, there's a seed that falls among the thorns. The sinful flesh is the culprit in this scenario. Perhaps this one hits close to home, because the cares, pleasures, and riches of life for these folks are more important than hearing preaching in the word of God faithfully. Glimpses of faith may be present in these folks, but there's no fruit to show for it. To say it a different way, let's look at the book of James. James 2:14 through 18 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe in God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Dead faith is no faith. A faith not producing fruit does not receive the word of God with a good and honest heart, bearing fruit with patience. And then we come to the seed and the good soil. Those of the good soil receive the word of God and hold fast to it. Their fruit doesn't pop up overnight, but in patience they exhibit the fruits of faith. And that the question is, what makes good soil? How can I make sure that the soil of my heart is good soil? Is there anything that I can do? Well, the quality of the good soil versus the other types of soil doesn't indicate any particular differences in people. It's not as if there's anything that I can add, like fertilizer, to make sure that the soil of my heart is receptive to the word of God and loves to hear it. Instead, the good quality of the soil is purely based on God's grace in Christ. That is to say, the soil that Christ is buried in is the good soil. And that's the soil that the Lord has cultivated you into, beginning with your baptism. And Lord willing, the word of God is continually met with joy and praise in a receptive heart, willing to be transformed by the divine, being raised from death to newness of life. Those who have the death and resurrection of Christ are a part of the good soil. Baptism connects you to the cross, where the Holy Trinity defeated the unholy Trinity. Those of the good soil continually live out this baptismal life, continually undergoing the cleansing through Jesus' blood. We undergo this cleansing daily as we drown the old Adam and rise to new life to serve God and his kingdom, bearing the fruits of faith and patience through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Those of the good soil aren't led astray by the deceit and temptation of the devil, because they hold fast to the word of God and gladly hear and learn it. We learn what to do in times of temptation from Jesus himself. At the beginning of Lent, we'll hear how Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. But Jesus didn't fall into temptation and deceit of the devil, but he remained faithful to God by, of all things, quoting scripture to Satan. And those of the good soil aren't led astray by the sinful world, because in times of testing, they don't fall away, but rather they hold fast to the word of God. For his words are spirit and life. His words are forgiveness and salvation. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Neither are those of the good soil led astray by the richest pleasures and cares of the world. Matthew 6:21 says, "Wherever your riches are, there your heart is also." When hearing and receiving the word of God as the corporate body of Christ, those of good soil believe there's no greater treasure on earth. Some may put their treasures in their jobs, Sundays being their day off or their day to sleep in. Or maybe they put their treasures in themselves. But the faithful cast all worldliness aside, casting away all things which the world gives, and devotes full loyalty, faithfulness, and stewardship to God, who has given them all good godly things. So to put it bluntly, there is nothing you can do to make sure you're good soil. Instead, only the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit transforms sinners into fertile ground for reception of his word. For loved ones who you fear may have lost the seed of faith, which is the word of God, pray that the Lord may bring his law and gospel to convict them of their sins and bring healing absolution upon confession of those sins. And all things will be left to the capable hands of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.